Well, I guess you always hear about people having these elaborate stories about how God speaks to them in various ways and all this stuff, and I guess now I've got one too. Because see, that's kind of why I'm here. God, he kind of spoke to me indirectly by way of text message. You know how us kids are these days, all text message, social media, all that mess. And one day I got two text messages. One of them from my wife, and it said, will you get some avocados on the way home? We're going to have tacos or something. And she's going to make guacamole, and I like guacamole. And about the same time, I got another text message from Rod Sutherland, and it said, will you be a guest preacher on the 27th? And I wrote two responses. No, I will not, and yes, I will. And I'm not going to tell you how the mix-up occurred, but here I am, and I didn't get any guacamole. So once I realized I couldn't get out of it, and I started thinking, you know, what can I tell these people? You know, these are good people. You know, they're just the fact that you're here. You showed up, and a lot of people didn't. And maybe that's my fault. I've told them not to put that in the bulletin, that I'd be up here. But so that was my first thought. I better tell y'all to straighten up, because if I'm anywhere on the list of people to preach, then y'all need to reevaluate some things. And I thought about, well, I could deliver some kind of fire and brimstone message. And that's not really me. And I thought I might ask 10 different people to just talk about God for a minute. And I'm glad I didn't go with that one, because somebody'd have to go twice. But then I thought, well, that's not what this is about. You know, what can I do? Well, I might could tell them a story. So you follow along with me, and if I ever don't make any sense, just look in your bulletin at the title of this thing, and it's called I'm Not a Preacher. And remember that, because I'm not one. When I was a kid, we'd go on vacation every year. My family, we'd load up the car. We'd usually take off driving. My dad, my mom, my sister, and I, and we'd go wherever. A lot of times we'd end up, you know, we went to Yellowstone National Park, Grand Tetons, up that direction. And one summer we were in Jackson Hole, and we went whitewater rafting. Jackson Hole Whitewater Company. I can see the logo clear as day. You get on these little boats, and you float down a river, and you go through all these rapids, and there's probably six or eight people, and you paddle, and you've got a guide, and we get up there at the first, and he says, I need someone to ride in the front of this boat. He said, you're going to get wet. You're going to probably fall out. He said, this is a dangerous job, and you've got to be a little crazy to do it. And I raised my hand. I said, that's on my name tag. And my poor dad, he reaches over to try to slap my arm down, and the guide says, we got two volunteers right here. And there we are. We find ourselves on the front of that boat, and my mom and sister pile in behind us, and we go on, and we get down there. There's just two people left up there, and it's a man and a wife, or his wife, and they're probably mid-30s and just, you know, able-bodied looking people. And that guy looks at the guide, and he says, we don't want to paddle. The guide kind of looked at him funny. He said, we don't want to get wet either. And the guide said, well, this is a whitewater rafting trip. You know, he said, look, we just want a nice, easy trip down the river. That guide said, well, I'll see what I can do for you. He put them in the middle of the boat, and, you know, they didn't do anything. They just rode along the boat. And, you know, we paddled, and we get to going down the river, and you go through all these rapids. We get to a point, and there's a flat spot in the river. And this other boat pulls up beside us, and they start splashing us, you know, hitting their paddles in the water, shooting water on us. Well, I'm on one side of the boat, and I think, well, I'm not going to stand for this, and I'm going to get me a big old scoop full of water and sling it on them. And I scoop it up, and if you're familiar with physics, you can see what's coming, and I get it right out of the water, and it breaks the water, and it hits that poor guy that wanted a trip down the river right in the head. Just smacked him right on top of the head. And he didn't like it, I don't think. He kind of grabbed his head like that, and my mom and dad gave me a death stare. And so a couple things happened at that point. The rest of the trip took a little longer because they quit paddling. You just stared at me. And I paddled backwards because I knew they weren't going to do anything to me while we were on the boat. But once we got off, all bets were off. And you know, we went on down that river. And that guy didn't do anything else. He kind of just sat there and shook his head and didn't have fun. And none of us had any fun. So you may be asking yourself, what's any of that got to do with church or me or a sermon? And I admit it's kind of a stretch, but go with me for a second here. So imagine life's that river, and we're all that guy in the boat, just kind of floating along. And then every now and then, here comes God, in this instance on the boat, is played by me, but he comes along with a paddle, and he hits us right in the head. There's lots of things might be that paddle. It could be a birth, a death, good time, bad time, any of that. It's easy to see God in these good times. You know, I'm quick to pray when things go bad. You know, something bad starts happening, you try to get out of it any way you can, and that's usually the first thing you go to. But it's hard to remember that during the good times. You know, you forget to be thankful when things are rolling along just fine, you know. So we all kind of just want an easy float down the river, you know, in this case life, but sometimes it doesn't work that way. That guy took every possible safeguard. He, he did everything right, and it still didn't matter. And we're kind of that same way. You know, I show up to church, and here I am. But sometimes I'm just as guilty as anyone of just looking for whatever way I can to make that trip the easiest. And get a little biblical on you. In the book of James, it says in verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 22, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." So I think the key part of that is, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only." So I think in layman's terms, what he's trying to say is, just simply being here may not be enough. So I don't think that means we're all supposed to become preachers. I may be evidence that anybody can do it, but I don't think that's what it's supposed to mean. You know, I think you get more out of it when you put something into it. You know, we've got a lot of great people in this church, but that doesn't mean we can't be better. You know, working at the food pantry, teaching a Sunday school class, you know, whatever it is, there's plenty of ways that we can be better. A kind word to someone, you know, be an example. And that's kind of where we fit in. So I don't know. Sam didn't give me any time limit. So maybe I've filled my allotted time. And if I hadn't, I apologize. Or if I've talked too long, I apologize. So I'll just leave you with this. We can just go along with the ride and wherever life takes us. Or we can ride on the front of that boat. We might get wet, we might fall out, but we've also got a chance to determine where we go. So will you pray with me? Lord, thank you for these people. Thank you for this church and the ability to come together and celebrate you. We just ask that you go with us out into the world and help us to be better people and better representatives of you. In your name we pray. Amen.